Sanderson, brother and sister, AJ. St. Helena, California, September 27th, 1901. Brother and sister Sanderson, I am greatly burdened in mind because you are so tempted by the enemy that you do not know what is for your peace and rest in Jesus. I cannot sleep past 1 o'clock. I cannot endure the thought of Satan obtaining the victory by blindfolding you, as he has been doing for years. You have had some victories, but many defeats. The Lord desires you to study your Bibles. He has not given any additional light to take the place of His Word. This light is to bring confused minds to His Word, which, if eaten and digested, is as the lifeblood of the soul. Then good works will be seen as light shining in darkness. If, while you have been studying the science of mind philosophy, you had diligently studied the science of true godliness, your Christian experience would be very different from what it is. Why have you turned from the pure streams of Lebanon to drink of the murky waters of the plain, the deceitfulness of human inventions? The heart needs a power that is found only in the Word of God. This power is the bread of life, which, if a man eat thereof, he shall live forever. He is not merely to taste occasionally of the bread which comes down from heaven. He is to live on the words which are spirit and life to the receiver. The earnest grasp of truth, the personal appropriations of the words of Christ, work a transformation in the character. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. John 6, verse 53-57, 63. Pardon and sanctification come as a result of receiving and practicing Christ's words. Writing to Titus, Paul says, Paul, a servant of God, not a master, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The apostle presents no human fountain from which to draw godliness, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The word of eternal life was to be preached in such a way that many would be made sound in the faith. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, specially they of the circumcision. Titus 1, verse 1-10. Two classes of men are presented in these words. It was the work of one class to present the truth in its purity, as contained in God's word. The other class was composed of unconsecrated elements who brought in a spurious religion to counterwork the work which God had said must be done. It is not enough to profess to believe in Christ. True faith will lead to good fruit. We read in the second chapter of Titus, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." Verses 1, 2. This is the fruit born on a good tree. He who is imbued with Christ-like faith produces works of righteousness. He has more than a creed. He places himself under the Holy Spirit's guidance. An acceptance of the truth of heavenly origin brings the mind into subjection to Christ. Then the health of soul which comes from receiving and following pure principles is revealed in words and works of righteousness. The faith which leads to this is not the faith which believes in mind controlling mind till one person acts out the will of another. Church members, having confidence in this science, may be called sound in the faith, but it is not the faith of Jesus Christ. Theirs is a faith in the work which Satan is doing. He presents gigantic errors, and by the miracles which he works, he deceives many. This work he will do more and more. A healthy church is composed of healthy members, of men and women who have a personal experience in true godliness, who eat Christ's flesh and drink his blood. Clear spiritual eyesight is needed to distinguish between the chaff and the wheat, between the science of Satan and the science of the word of truth. Christ, the great physician, came to our world to give health and peace and perfection of character to all who will receive him. His gospel does not consist of outward methods and performances through which the science of an evil work may be introduced as a great blessing, afterward to prove a great curse. In the second chapter of Philippians is found a presentation of true godliness. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Verses 5 to 13. This is true co-partnership, not man depending on man, but man depending on God. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, following the science of mind cure, by which mind is merged in mind? No, holding forth the word of life, continually striving to help and bless others, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Verses 14 to 16. To hold forth the word of life is to present and practice the principles of the gospel of Christ. Thus, every soul is to reap the benefits derived from him who is the great physician of both soul and body. To advocate the science of mind cure is opening a door through which Satan will enter to take possession of mind and heart. Satan controls both the mind that is given up to be controlled by another and the mind that controls. May God help us to understand the true science of building on Christ our Savior and Redeemer. Christ is the greatest of all physicians. He is a physician of the soul as well as of the body. Had he not come to this world to redeem us from Satan's hellish power, we would have had no hope of gaining eternal life. Shall we then teach the sick to look to human beings for the cure of soul and body? Or shall we direct them to the one who can save to the uttermost all who come to him? Let us not point minds to erring human beings. Let us say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. Christ in human nature was the lowly Son of Man. He came to this earth and took the position of a servant. This was his humiliation. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. God highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above all other names. Then let that name be on our lips. Let his character be revealed in our lives. Let us be representatives of the sin-pardoning Savior. I speak to you, my brother and sister, telling you to look and live. This is your only hope. You are encrusted with Phariseeism. You can see imperfect in yourselves. Is this because the science of mind controlling mind leads you to believe that if you have faith that you are perfect, you are perfect? Satan has taken you both captive. If you had been willing to see your defects of character, you would have felt your need of a personal Savior. You would have seen your weakness and your terrible danger, and in your weakness, you would have come to Christ, accepting Him as your strength, your front guard, and your rear word.